really believe that this kind of idea and community like came into my world for me to steward, but I really believe that like community is not owned and that it is about the people who are within it that make it what it is.
Welcome to the Self Starter Podcast, a place where stories are shared from women just like you who left the colorless corporate world with an idea and a passion and ran with it to create the vibrant life they always wanted to live. My name is Megan Tobler, and every week I'll be bringing real women to you to share their entrepreneurial journey in hopes of inspiring you to take the very first step of your own. Sometimes the hardest part is just to start. So come on, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. Let's go. Get ready to have your entrepreneurial thirst quenched as we dive into a conversation with the founder and chief community officer of Quench Collective, Grace Blacksea. Grace started a movement where women are throwing their middle fingers up to the status quo and instead hyping each other up along their journey to ultimate success and freedom. In this episode, you'll learn the ins and outs of this special entrepreneurial community, including how and why it was founded, the different iterations it's gone through, and where it's headed. If you're an aspiring or current entrepreneur looking for community, then this episode is for you. Grace, on your site, there's something that says your community is, and I'm going to quote you really quick here, for women throwing their middle fingers up into the status quo and hyping each other up along the journey to ultimate success and freedom. So Grace, I am personally so hyped to have you on today because I think that a lot of our listeners will really resonate with your story. So thank you so much for hopping on today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited. This is going to be fun.
It definitely is. Now, I always like to get a better understanding of who our guests are. And for those people that do not know you, you are the founder and chief community officer of Quench Collective. So for those people that don't know you, can you just give a little bit of a high level overview of really who you are and the community you've started with Quench Collective?
Yes, of course. So just like you said, I am the chief community officer and founder of Quench Collective. And gosh, Quench itself has had such a long journey. I really believe that this kind of idea and community like came into my world for me to steward, but I really believe that like community is not owned and that it is about the people who are within it that make it what it is. And so we have the most incredible community members in the world. And also just like a note to those who we haven't found yet too, like I know over time, Quench, meaning the people within it, will attract just that many more incredible, wonderful people who need to be a part of it. So yeah, I mean, the story is long, but like in kind of like, let's say the 10-second version, which is probably more like the 2-minute version, it's that I found myself just kind of at the bottom of my both like energetic and also creative barrel when I was in corporate. And I know that we have a similar story around this where it just, you know, it was sucking the life out of me, quite literally. I mean, I was living by the alerts on my phone. And I was also doing something really unhealthy, which was attaching a lot of importance to that. I thought that the busier I was, the more important I was, which I mean, I think everyone listening can probably hear a lot of red flags going off here because that's just not true. I mean, admittedly, I was in my early 20s and I just thought, you know, that was the dream that you grow up, you get this corporate job, you become this very important person. And I mean, what that really was is me not knowing myself at all, really. But a reason I didn't is because I had filled so much of my time with just being busy and whatever that looked like. I mean, if you looked at my work calendar and then my personal calendar, it was just busyness. It didn't really have a lot of substance to it. I had a lot of people in my life that mattered a lot to me, but I just wasn't even able to plug into them the way that, you know, I don't even know that I was being the greatest reciprocal friend back then. You know, if my friends got really honest and answered that question, they probably would say that. So I found myself finally just halted because of so many physical ailments that were going on because of stress. And again, I don't think I'm the only one that's experienced this before. I mean, everything from insomnia to weird unexplained rashes on my arms that no doctor could get down to the bottom of, to incredibly low energy, to lots of swaying. I mean, I was not only working 12-hour days, but then also doing like 2 hours of cardio because I thought that's something that would chill me out when really my nervous system was just screaming at me to slow down. So there were so many things. So in my quest to, you know, when I finally decided to leave because I realized that that was really I don't know if I want to say it was the root of my problem, obviously not, but it was this big kind of glaring thing that I knew I had an opportunity to step out of. And when I did, it was this journey of, okay, how do I rebuild? But admittedly, I had the most debilitating anxiety in stillness. I was like, how do I do this? How do I not sit next to my computer and wait to respond to emails all day? Or how do I not create proposals for clients? How do I not do this? How do I not do that? And in kind of my way back, I found the importance of community and creativity and why that was such a thing that was lacking in my life is because it was something that did take time and it did sometimes take stillness and it did take these things that I actually really needed. And all that to say, over probably the period of a year or so after leaving corporate, I found that this kind of idea, this community that I couldn't find anywhere else. So I decided to create it. And thus the Quench community was created and this collective was started. It's something that, again, has evolved over time where there are a lot of communities, really incredible ones for women out there. But something that I think sets us apart is that we wanted to make sure that we were encouraging each other to do things differently. A lot of the times what can happen in community is we rally around one idea or one mission or one thought piece, and then we all end up doing the exact same thing and sounding the same way and running our businesses the same way. And that's not what this is about. The beautiful thing is you and I, Megan, have a very similar story, but we have two completely different businesses, maybe similar communities even, but people get different things from it. We fill up people's cups in different ways. And so that's what it's all about. That's why there is room enough for everybody at the table. And so we wanted to make sure that we were, you know, in that kind of quote around throwing up our middle finger to the status quo, is it's not about all dressing the same or acting the same or looking the same or whatever it may be. It's about celebrating our differences. It's about trying and doing things differently and encouraging people to do just that. So now we've even encouraged the conversation past just entrepreneurship to what we call modern leadership, which is people who are sitting in cubicles all the way to coffee shops, because in an effort not to create like one siloed conversation, I think we do have to pull professionals into it. To be honest, I recently have been thinking about myself who was sitting in that, you know, office going, I don't have any community at all. Like I know a lot of people who hate their corporate jobs, but I knew nobody who actually was a part of a community that could like pour into themselves. So we've recently expanded it just past the walls of entrepreneurship into what I, again, we call modern leadership. And we're really excited to continue to invite in those different conversations, really in an effort to create more whole leaders. Because I think when we can have more areas and levels of support, then we can show up better, whether again, it's professionally or from an entrepreneurship standpoint.
Wow, there's so much that I would love to unpack there. But I think the first thing that I'd love to kind of go back to was, really, you didn't mention it this way, but the idea of the hustle culture. And I think that so many of us think that that's what it takes to be successful today. But in reality, sometimes it's really taking a second to slow down and to really be present, to really understand what is it that's really going to fulfill me and drive me forward. And I'm so sorry that you had to go through some of those stress symptoms like insomnia and the rashes and the low energy. I mean, when you were talking about that, I was thinking back to my early sales days where I was burning the candle at both ends. I was going in at 6 a.m. in the morning, the first one there, and I was one of the last ones to leave. And I would have stress dreams at night. And my husband, at the time boyfriend, I would do weird things in my sleep. I would turn to him and I would tell him that he was unqualified. And my dad loved that because he thought it was the most funny thing. I was in sales and having to qualify or disqualify people. And I was dreaming about work in my sleep. And this stuff isn't healthy. So I'm so glad you were able to really take a step, I don't want to say back, but take a step away from that to be able to really focus on what was really fulfilling. And you were able to really rebuild and you realized what you were missing. And that was community and creativity. So how did you realize that it was really those two factors that you were missing?
Oh gosh. Okay. Well, there was this is a part of the story I leave out because it really was part of the genesis of it all, but it was such a kind of blimp in time. I feel like I look at it as a really quick stepping stone. But I remember when I was in my corporate job, I was like, I don't have time for therapy. I don't have time. I don't have time. That was my line. I loved using that. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that, which is just quite frankly, not true. We make time for the things that matter to us most within, of course, a lot of constraints of just our conditioning and capabilities and that sort of thing. But I finally made time for myself, also realizing that I was having some pretty debilitating anxiety. So sitting with my therapist and I was talking to her about the current state of myself, probably on my like ninth cup of coffee for the day. And she said, okay, you know, it sounds like you're dealing with some anxious feelings. And I wonder if A, we can cut back on the caffeine a little bit. And B, I'm wondering if we can find a way to keep your hands, quote, busy in a more healthy way. And I was like, okay, like, tell me more. What does that mean? And she's like, have you ever thought about like maybe taking up pottery or gardening? I'm like, oh, you're talking about hobbies. And she's like, yeah. I'm like, I don't know what that's like. I don't know how to have a hobby. Like, what are you talking about? And she's like, yeah, well, maybe this is the opportunity. And at the time I lived in this very small, probably like, I don't know, 700 square foot studio in San Clemente. And I looked outside and one thing that we did have was this tiny little patio, but it had all of this overgrown succulents. And I said, well, I do sit here every day over my coffee and think, gosh, someone should really get out there and like trim that back or propagate this. Like I knew enough about it. I wanted to be a plant person, but I didn't have, quote, time for it. So that day I grabbed some gardening gloves and from the store and some clippers. And I said, well, how hard can it be? I'll just start like clipping things back and I'll start, you know, whatever. Well, my, again, then boyfriend, now husband came out after the end of his workday and said, have you been out here all day? I said, yeah, I have been. And it was like therapy. I just started like working with these plants and it was so lovely. Then I started, of course, going down a rabbit hole of research. Well, how do I propagate these plants to actually make more? Because we have this empty patch over here. You know, it turned into this. It was like a domino effect. All that to say, within a week, I had started a business out of it. I was making and creating, I should say, designing succulent arrangements. Now, quick backstory, my corporate life was in events and marketing. And before that, especially like throughout college, I had worked events through like a production company. And a lot of that was creative from the design piece of it. I had a hand in floral, that sort of thing. So it was everything from planning to creativity. So I did have a background. I knew enough of what I was doing. And so and then with the research and the books I was getting and that sort of thing. So I started getting creative. You know, my husband jokes with me, you don't know how to be creative without turning it into a business, which is true. That wasn't like my first business necessarily, but I'd always had, you know, full-time jobs. So yeah, that's actually where the name comes from Quench. It was originally called Quench California, and then it turned into Quench Collective, but it was called Quench because it was this essentially like filling up of, right? It was this quenching, this thirst, if you will, both maybe figuratively and literally, for creativity, for how empty my cup was and filling it back up. So I found my creativity in that. And then when I started selling the product, I was then surrounded by hundreds of entrepreneurs in the online space and, you know, in real life, I would sometimes like hop out to markets and I was selling the product within a month. I had probably what felt like a lifetime of experience being around other entrepreneurs within about 3 months. And then on that fourth month, I realized, oh, this isn't about the succulents. This was a stepping stone to get me into this world of these small business owners, these entrepreneurs, these people who maybe don't have skills that I have and then vice versa and how we can support each other. That's what community is all about. And I realized there was a big lacking in that. There was so much competition out there. I mean, this was like, we're coming up on almost a decade ago and there was so much competition. I would go out to these places and people would just kind of scowl at each other versus say, hey, how's it going? Gosh, your booth looks amazing. Where did you get that neon sign from? You know? And so we started to kind of cross party lines, if you will, and kind of have these like conversations with people. And it was just really wonderful. So I hung up my gardening gloves pretty quickly within like 4 months and realized that, again, this actually needed to be a community and we needed to start quite literally pouring into each other. And so that is how I unleashed the creativity around it. And then I found creativity within the community with all different aspects from our in real life events before 2020, the design of our community in general, and then like how we can actually get creative sometimes digitally versus in real life as well. So kind of a crazy stepping stone, but it was really the plants, if you will, that brought it to life.
I fully believe that there's always stepping stones. And in the moment, it doesn't always make sense why you're doing something. But if you look back, everything builds upon each other. And something that I like about what you did with planting and just plants in general is that it's very much an analogy for life too and entrepreneurship. It's not only just like the name quenching the thirst for more, but when you're planting something, it starts as a seed. You can't see it. It's under the surface. And little by little, you continue to water it day by day and it's growing. And eventually it turns into this beautiful flower, which obviously has turned into Quench Collective, this beautiful community. So it started as this little seedling, literally on your 700 square foot apartment patio. And now you have thousands of members within it. So this is just such a great analogy for just life in general.
Isn't it wild? I mean, it's truly, at first I was always so apprehensive to even share that story because it felt so insignificant, but it is significant. I mean, it is such an analogy for what entrepreneurship is, for what life is, for what self-discovery is. And we're so quick to pour out, but we're not as quick to pour in. And I think if we can walk whatever journey we're on with a fuller cup, then we're doing okay, you know?
Absolutely. And I loved what you said about, obviously, there's a part of me that kind of cringes because you're talking about over a decade ago where you're going to these booths and people that had that competitive energy. And to me, I don't understand that because I truly believe, as you do, that there's enough to go around for everyone. So the fact that people are feeling that their competition, like kind of, it does give me a cringe moment because there's plenty of everything to go around. And what I really like about your community is that you're not trying to fit everyone in a specific box. You are allowing everyone to bring their unique strengths to the table and really work with them because we're all meant to be different. Like we all have something different to bring to the table. So you've done that. And that's so incredible. But obviously you decided to kind of hang up the watering can, the shears, all that good stuff. And you decided to go all in on this community. So I'm curious kind of how you just got started with the community in general.
Yeah, it really was. I remember being at one of those markets. A friend had said, oh, I went to this really cool market. It might kind of be your vibe and that sort of thing. And there's all these cool makers there. And it's such a thing. And it was a vibe. It was a very like stoic vibe. And so I was like, whoa, we need to bring some like personality and heart and warmth to this. It felt so cold and it was odd. You know, everyone, like I could even see in their body language, like they were very stiff and they wouldn't look past their booth. And I mean, we're talking about like a 6-foot booth, like they didn't really have a lot to like look past, you know, but then there were also were some people that were being great examples of leaders in that space. And so I was like that, more of that, how do we create more of that? And I think it was just the opportunity that would find that. And I'm sure you've seen this and probably even listeners where they've walked up to someone who maybe looked as if they were, you know, very to themselves and just ask, hey, how's it going? Or how's your day? Or can I help you with that? And all of a sudden everything changes. You know, sometimes it just takes the opening up of, because you never know what people are dealing with. And so I started just having conversations with people and asking what they felt like they needed. What do you feel like you needed? Well, I just, you know, some people would say, I'm so busy making this product. I just don't have time for marketing. I'm like, oh, I can help you with that. You know, like, what do you need? It's like, oh, you know, come to find out it was like this 2-millimeter shift, this tiny little thing that they needed, whether it was on their website or on their Shopify space or whatever it was. And having these conversations and hearing what people needed. And in some cases, it was just like someone to talk to about how hard this is. Some cases it was like, oh, I actually need a new contact for this, or I need a contract for that, or I need a lawyer for something else, or I'm looking for an accountant. It was like, oh, well, I actually have this web of people that I'm happy to introduce you to. And so it was so clear of like, why don't we officialize that? Why don't we bring that together? So admittedly, it turned into a lot of consulting. I kind of took all of my knowledge and background of starting things up, of marketing, even, you know, my background in events, and more so all of my background had kind of manifested in community building in some way or another. And so I started to help people grow and build and scale their businesses. And I never looked at myself so much as a coach, but more of a mentor. Just how can I help you through and with this phase, bring you from point A to point B in this really significant way? Because we all get there. I've come to many of those bridges where it looks like, oh, I'm at point A. How do I walk across to point B? How do I get to that specific thing? I don't know that I have the tools for this. And that's okay. You know, that's why we bring different people into our world. So it's been such an honor to be able to connect people because sometimes I'm not necessarily the mentor for them. but also to invite them into our community at large so that they can get connected with other people too. So for a long time, for many years, it was just on the consulting piece. And then we would bring our community together every Friday around an event that we would hold digitally called Fill Up Your Cup. And so we would bring different mentors to this, I'm using air quotes here, elusive stage online. And every single week we brought a different mentor to the stage around a different topic and we connected people. And then it was great too, because over the 2 years that we did this for every single Friday, the community that showed up got to know each other and then they started collaborating with each other. And again, it was this huge domino effect. So, you know, a lot of that had to do with because we couldn't meet in real life. We used to do our meetups in real life. So because it was digital, what that meant is that we could reach people worldwide. We no longer had to just deal with one time zone. It was that we were connecting people across, you know, countries and across ponds and across all of these things. And so it was really wonderful. And so now I have fully shifted into really illuminating the community in its fullest expression inside of our community membership and what that looks like. And so that is where we are able to nurture these modern leaders. We've kind of identified these four different areas where, again, every modern leader needs to be nourished and or perhaps need support. And that is business and career support. So where that looks, where you're sitting from professionally or entrepreneurship, financial support, whether it's personal finance or it is business finance, whatever that looks like. Leadership. Leadership is such a big piece in part. I think actually more specifically women, more and more today they are, but they don't consider themselves leader. It's been such a masculine term for so long. And so we're switching that up and changing the kind of overarching theme of it just being for men and it actually being for everybody. And then the other piece to it is mindset and mental health. So again, no matter where you're sitting, because at the end of the day, I always say there's this duality to entrepreneurship. Even there's this duality in business. We have our business and then we have the business of us. And if we're not pouring into both sides of those, because we've seen, like I remember sitting in my corporate seat, I was pouring everything into my business, my work, my career. The business of me was screaming at me as loud as I possibly could, but I just wasn't listening to it. I was completely pushing it away. So we've identified these four areas. And so we have created support for that support system. So we have four different mentors for all of these different support systems who are licensed, who have decades of experience, who are able to pour into our community in these really impactful ways. And then the community itself, you know, we have these connection points, we have accountability points, we have all of these different things and kind of the undercurrent, if you will, to just have real life conversation from your latest Netflix binge to, hey, I am really struggling to feed myself properly throughout the week because meetings have been taking over my life or my Slack just will not slow down. So like, what are some fast meals that I can put in the fridge that can help me just take a 10-minute break and eat? You know, we have all different conversations from every end of the spectrum. And I believe that we have to have brave spaces like that to have these conversations because sometimes we can't have them with coworkers. Sometimes we can't even have them with friends if they're not sitting in the same maybe seat as we are in our professional lives. So yeah, that's what the community has become today. It's become this digital space where we can really pour into support in a different way in an effort to create, again, more whole leaders.
Well, and a lot of the people that are listening are aspiring entrepreneurs. They're looking to be able to get into, to be able to do something like what you've created. And maybe they're either doing something of their own. Maybe they're wanting to be a coach. Maybe they're wanting to start a community of their own. But no matter what they do, a huge takeaway that you've said is you started by doing market research. You started having conversations with people, understanding what it was that they needed. And then you went out and you figured out how to deliver upon that. And it sounds like you consistently built upon those needs. And then eventually it led to these four different pillars of your business today. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. You did such a good job of kind of seeing through the trees on that one. That's exactly what it is. And admittedly, I've never stopped doing that. I've never stopped asking questions. I feel like the more we ask questions, the better answers we're going to get. Then you get better at asking better questions. Like it's practice, right? It's not just, oh, we do market research one time and we look at the competition and we do that. That is a very like traditional marketing way of doing things. But I think that we need more than that, especially in this day and age of our world. And when I help people build communities, whether it's by the thousands, hundreds of thousands, whatever it may be, whether it's a product-based business, whether it's a corporation, all the way down to a, whatever it is, a small business, an entrepreneur, or even someone who's aspiring to have something like this, the number one thing that I do is get on the ground floor with the community and just talk to them like a normal person. You know, sometimes it's even more helpful than sending out like a quote survey. Surveys are incredibly helpful, but just having like a real life conversation, meeting them where they're at and just saying, how are you? What do you need in your world right now? Where are you feeling lack of support? Where are you feeling supported? What does the future look like for you? What has the past informed? I mean, just all sorts of different things. I mean, even just like a conversation we're having right now, right? By me telling my story, you're learning things and then asking me really wonderful questions back. It's that same sort of thing. I think if we just treat people like people and ask them, go beyond, you know, just the kind of surface level questions, then we're able to, again, unlock what people really need. And the other thing is, in all honesty, we just solidified those pillars probably 3 months ago. We've had different versions of that for a long time, but it just became so clear in those ongoing conversations. I probably meet with our community members quarterly and say, okay, what do you need? What's on the table? What does this look like? What does that look like? You know, whatever it may be. And I feel like we've actually just finally really, really solidified what that means for our modern leaders. Now, I think that's important too. And I also don't think it always means like, sure, take someone out to coffee and have a conversation with them real life. Maybe they're a busy parent and they can't actually meet up with you, but maybe sending them a voice memo or something along those lines can meet them where they're at. So I think, again, when you take the time to ask people more genuine questions, you're able to unlock their need. The other thing I want to say about that is this. I think that it's important when we are creating sustainable businesses, ones that don't burn us out, ones that actually sustain the test of time, that really are these like legacy brands and businesses, that we first have to build from a place of our desire. You know, I knew that I desired to help a certain type of person on a certain platform. Like there were some quote, maybe non-negotiables, if you will. And I think having that as the number one spot is so important. What I see is a lot of businesses that are built from an unsustainable place that are built completely on what a customer, client, consumer, community member wants. Because at the end of the day, if you're the person running that business, you're going to burn out because it's not your thing. It's not pouring into your desire too. So there has to be perhaps this alignment. I don't know if balance really exists, but alignment around what you want as far as you being the leader of this business. And then also the need of, again, the consumer, the client, the customer, community member, and kind of this beautiful blend of the two. Because otherwise, it's really great to start something up. But then if it's going to burn you out, or it's going to lose steam in a month from now and 2 years from now, you know, we want to avoid that as much as possible. So I do think there is a blend and kind of a synergy that needs to happen there.
I agree. And I think the basis of everything is kind of what you're talking about from a little bit before. It's really just being human, having a genuine and authentic connection with your members, with your customers, whatever you call it within whatever business that you are starting. In your case, it's your members, and really making sure that not only are you passionate about it, but they're happy. And I think that happy customers are what fuel your business. And it really just generates a lot more organic marketing, because you have the word of mouth. So kind of in the realm of just like marketing in general and how you grew this, you obviously started this from an idea when you were planting flowers, and then it grew into so much more. And like I said earlier, you have thousands of members, but that doesn't happen overnight. So how have you really spread the word about Quench Collective, and how have you been able to grow it to the large numbers that you have today?
Yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing this up, because this is so, so true. And I'm going to get really transparent with you. I started Quench just about 8.5, almost 9 years ago. And it has been that long that it's taken to even, and again, there's been different iterations, i.e. it started out as, you know, a business where around succulent plant design, you know, that sort of thing. And like its first, let's say, 6 months to a year. And then it moved into, okay, it's this community, but there was no revenue generated. I was just consulting on the back end. I wasn't even promoting that. I just had clients from my corporate time, word of mouth, that sort of thing. Then it moved into really, really honing in and helping more specifically entrepreneurs. Then it moved into just group programs. Then it moved in. So there's been so many iterations of that. And I will say it at its height, it grew to the thousands during 2020 and beyond, because people finally had time to be a part of this community that they had wanted to be a part of before. But again, they didn't, air quotes here, had the time to do it. And so they were able to take the time to make the connections with people. And admittedly, since people have gone back to work and been able to do things and move about more freely now, that's been pulled back quite a bit. You know, we don't have the as much engagement as we used to, and maybe those numbers. And I think that's the case for a lot of people. So the beautiful thing about being an entrepreneur is that we can be nimble, right? We have the ability to be flexible in a lot of ways. As an example, I had a baby 11 months ago. And in that time I had planned, you know, it's a totally different ballgame when you own your own business. I had planned to take 3 months off of work for maternity leave. And at about 2.5 months, I realized, oh, there is absolutely no way that I can go back. I was dealing with pretty debilitating postpartum depression and anxiety. And I knew there was absolutely no way that I could show up for our community being in the state that I was in. And it rocked my world. I then decided to take 3 more months off. And at 11 months, looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, why don't parents get at least a year? Like, this is the most wild thing. That's a whole nother podcast and conversation around just like lack of support for parents. But it came out of nowhere, right? It really, really blindsided me, and it was not what I planned. And in this time away, I had a lot to think about also. Wow, I'm a completely different person. I walked in a hospital, you know, one woman, and I left a completely different one. And in this really transformational experience, I'm also deciding how I want to show up again as a leader, as a professional, as an entrepreneur, as a woman, as a person, as all of these identities and things. And because I was in this situation of flexibility, I was able to do that. Like, I wouldn't have been able to do that in other places. And that also meant that we took almost an 80% revenue hit to the business because I was not able to show up. That's huge, right? There's a lot of things there. A lot of people will say like, oh, well, there's holes in the business because you didn't have any reoccurring revenue coming in. I very purposely didn't build our business like that because that's not my thing, right? It's about myself and our team showing up for our community. So there were a lot of holes that were exposed. There still is a lot of kind of, I would say, reflection going on to see, again, what do I need and my seat as a leader to show up as authentically and genuine as I can, because I know my community doesn't just want me to like shove my emotions to the side. And then also, you know, in that, I've noticed a lot's been changing in kind of the collective, meaning like the world around us, and people's needs have been changing. So I went back again to the drawing board, AKA to those conversations at the ground floor with our community members. Hey, how's it going? How are you? You know? And in doing that, again, I actually took all of our group programs off of the table, which meant that I willingly was walking away from 80% of our revenue in the business and decided to go all in to our membership. That's huge. I also decided very intentionally to take almost the entire year off social media too. I knew that there was this new identity moving and shaking, and I didn't feel good or authentic about the way that I was showing up. I was like, I don't even know who the heck I am right now. I'm completely rebuilding my identity. I'm stepping into this new person. So I'm willingly going to step out over here and kind of allow myself and give myself the time to figure this out. In the same breath, that meant that I also, my paycheck dwindled. I had to let go of team members. There have been so many things that have gone on. So, you know, we look around to the people that are around us and say, wow, she's got everything, or wow, this is so successful. But to be completely honest, I don't see myself as any less successful. Again, I think the beauty of being an entrepreneur is that we are able to be nimble, to be flexible. And I say be that, I mean, I want to be very clear that in some cases, you know, I definitely started to take on more consulting work because I had to replace that income that was coming in. You know, there's all sorts of things, but again, I was able to because of the time that I had. And that's definitely, you know, not lost on me, the privilege of that. So there's just been so many movements and changes, but one thing that's been certain is that this community is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. And that it just meant that we kind of, I say we, meaning myself, our members, our community at large, kind of needed to rediscover who we were. And I think being able to take the time to do that, yes, you know, some might listen and say like, well, that's such a luxury. You know, I don't have the ability to not take on clients anymore. I don't have the ability. I mean, again, to be very transparent, 80% of the revenue is gone. But it's also one of those things where I knew if I was doing it for one more year, that I don't know that I would be happy and that it would probably amplify postpartum depression and anxiety, that it would actually probably turn into a situation where I felt resentful, where I felt, you know, my purpose was lost. So I guess you got probably more out of this answer than anticipated, but my intention here is to say that we have an opportunity to be flexible, use that to your advantage. But if something doesn't feel right, pause for a moment and really try to get down to the root of what it is. Like if we just keep, I think moving through it, I would say that I was definitely still moving through it. I didn't completely shut down my business by any means, but I think moving through it, but giving yourself compassion and not only asking others, but asking yourself really maybe kind of hard, but important questions can really help to reveal what the next step is, how to get to the other side, what the next version of this looks like, what the continuation of it looks like, et cetera.
Well, first of all, I have to say, just thank you for being so raw and vulnerable about your personal experiences. I think that so often entrepreneurship is glamorized and people just only give their highlight reel and they think that everything is just all hunky-dory all the time. But the reality is it's a constant roller coaster and there are going to be ups, there's going to be downs. But at the end of the day, like you have to do what's best for you and your mental health, because without that, there is no business.
Exactly. Like,
you talked about like kind of pouring into both sides of the business as well as the personal life. And without pouring into both, you can't have that sustainable business like you were talking about. And so I love that you were able to recognize your needs, take a step back, and temporarily, sure, you lost 80% of your business, but the long-term impact of being able to kind of rebuild is going to be incredible because you were able to recognize, okay, where is it that I really want to focus on? What's filling my cup? What do my members need? And what I like about your story is that you're not afraid to rebuild because you left corporate to rebuild into something else. You started your business and you're constantly pivoting and reiterating and rebuilding. And I think that is a really huge part of your story and why you've been able to do this for over a decade.
Well, thank you for that reflection. I don't know that I've ever thought about it like that, to be quite honest. Looking back, I think you're right about that.
I mean, I think it definitely takes a certain kind of person to be an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart. Like I said, there are peaks and there's valleys. It's a roller coaster. And it's really just having that passion inside of you and kind of going back to what you were saying earlier, like there has to be an alignment in what you're doing, because if the alignment's not there, when you do have those dips, then there's no way you're going to be able to get back up. You have to have that alignment. You have to have that passion. You have to have that why behind everything that you're doing.
I think that you're right. I mean, you had mentioned the thing about hustle culture, and I think that there is this maybe contradiction around, you know, hustle. It's like push through, go, go, go. Even when it hurts, like I definitely want to write off hustle culture, but I don't want to write off the moving through, you know, like uncomfortable things. But I think that when you are able to press pause, it doesn't mean that you stop. It means that you're maybe pressing pause and moving through, but like just 2 millimeters to the right or 2 millimeters to the left. It means that the path that you've been on is the thing that's maybe exhausting you or not right for you or whatever it may be. And so being able to pause and then shift, I think is something that's important. And it does, then, you know, then you are actively working against hustle culture, which I think is so important because you can't hustle your way out of everything. You just can't. Again, like it's going to lead to burnout. It's going to lead to so many of these other things. And, you know, it's sad, but true, realizing that when I paused and kind of started that shift, that if I would have continued on this road, this thing that I was actually very proud of building and still very much am proud of it, that I would have burnt out. And that meant that I had actually created an unsustainable path for the future for myself without even realizing it. And probably because it's so easy. It's like hustle culture is like a riptide. You know, it's like, we don't even realize that we just get swept into it sometimes. And even if we're so anti it and so against it, it's just, we're moving, we're shaking, we're moving forward. But if we're not pausing long enough, and this was like, you know, I would say an involuntary pause. Like I knew I'd pause for a little bit, but I didn't realize it was going to turn into that. That, you know, more things were revealed. So as much as I hope that your pause is voluntary, not involuntary, or anyone, you know, who's listening, I think that, you know, anytime that you can do that for yourself, it doesn't mean that you're not successful. It doesn't mean that you're not passionate or ambitious. It just means that you're actually doing the right thing. You know, hustle culture, I think, makes us think like that's wrong.
You're recognizing what you need in that moment. And I recently had a guest on the podcast. And as I was telling you before we hopped on today, like I'm currently expecting my first child. And she was just talking about how there's different seasons in your life. And pregnancy and entering into new motherhood, like you have, it's a huge life change. Like we're entering in the unknown. You entered into the unknown and you had no idea who that woman was when you walked out of the hospital. And I think it's important for us to be able to realize that there's seasons where we need to be able to give ourselves grace. And that's what she reminded me. And I think that is exactly what you're explaining here today as well, is that you need to give yourself grace. Like it's okay to push pause. It's okay to reset. It does not mean you're a failure. In fact, I think that's a huge indicator of success because you recognize what your needs are. And by you recognizing your needs, that allows you to help other people in the process.
Absolutely. Amen. Love that. It's beautiful.
Now, speaking of helping other people, I know this community has been a large topic of conversation. If someone really wanted to be able to join the community, how would they be able to get started with something like this?
Yeah. So I always say we can meet you wherever you're at, meaning that if your favorite way of finding out about someone is doing a deep dive into Google search and, or, you know, about just going straight to someone's website and saying like, ooh, I like this. It's for me. That's great. You can go onto our website and do just that. Hopefully it will help to reveal whatever it is that you are looking for. And you can join the community straight from there. If social media is kind of your thing, you're like, ooh, I want to tiptoe around and see kind of what this person's all about and that sort of thing. We're everywhere. We're Instagram. We're on Threads now. We are not on Twitter, but we are on pretty much every other platform. Just, you know, at Quench Collective or quench.collective on those platforms. And also if you know, I have kind of also my personal world, which is where I've been and always love having conversations because as much as I am a steward of community and Quench itself, I always love to just make the personal connection. So I am over on Instagram and again, many other platforms at Grace Blacksea, just my full name. And I would just love to hear from you and like have a very human conversation, even if the membership is not for you. I believe that community is just grown by connection. So let's make a connection on any of those connection points. And if it leads to something more, then fantastic.
Well, and I'll make sure that all of your links are in the show notes. But something that I really liked in the Q&A section of your website is that if you're a new entrepreneur and maybe you cannot justify a monthly membership or an annual membership at this point, there are other entryways into the community. And one of that is your Facebook group. It's a really great place to be able to see if this is an investment that you ultimately want to make in your business once you start making money as well. So I really liked that you had that entry point as an option.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have hours and hours, all of our 2 years worth of our Fill Up Your Cup mentorship kind of events that we had on Fridays. All of those replays are in there. So you can, they're searchable. You can pop in there. We have topics from everything from sexuality all the way to, you know, accounting, to backing up your business legally. There's so many different connection points there and there's so many people to meet. There's thousands of people in that group. So as much as it's not where we're as active anymore, we're more active in our membership. There still is so much goodness for you to pull from in there and that's all free and it's for you and it lives there.
Amazing. You are truly someone that just wants to help people and connect people with resources. And it's something that you're living and breathing every single day. So I always like to end these episodes with just a little bit of advice for the beginning entrepreneur. So if you could look back to yourself from over a decade ago and really kind of speak to that woman, what would you tell her?
Ooh, I'm going to say something that actually might sound slightly contradictive, but hopefully I can explain why. Don't overthink it. That's what I would say to myself. I am a recovering perfectionist. I am a chronic overthinker. I will typically not put something out until it's fully baked. And I just think that because entrepreneurship is so much about testing and trying, that it's important to do that. Now, I want you to do that without burning yourself out. I think that that's important, but go where you are feeling pulled. And also, if something feels draining, there is a really, really, really good chance that it's not ever going to not feel draining. So if something is lighting you up, follow that light and test and try. Something as like a practice of mine as a recovering perfectionist is lately when I try to shut down an idea in my mind, well, it's not perfect or it's not complete or I can't do this. I'll say to myself, but what can we try? You know, what can we just test? Like, is there, maybe it doesn't feel like we can go the full gamut of things, but can we do something again that's just this tiny little step forward? And usually the answer to myself is always, yeah, we can. We can do just this one little thing and see what happens. Just send that email or try that thing or put up that poll or ask that question. And it's amazing how much it can reveal to your next step. So don't overthink it. Test and try. And I guess the other thing too, you asked for one thing, but I'm going to give you three because it's my favorite number. It's what you said earlier. Give yourself grace, like truly give yourself grace, allow yourself to follow like that light of what's lighting you up and what's not. You know, sometimes that can make us feel like we are inconsistent or, you know, we don't finish things that we start, but so much of entrepreneurship is about testing and trying, and that's going to be the case. It's like we built this whole thing and we decided it's not actually right, and that's okay. And so we're going to leave it over here. So you got this. You got this.
You've got this. And in the spirit of testing and trying too, like, I think your story is just a shining example of what it starts with at the beginning isn't necessarily what it's going to be today. So don't be caught up in perfectionism. I mean, I was definitely held back from that myself, and that's why I never took any action to get started. But ultimately, you just have to make that decision. Do that one thing that's going to propel you a little bit forward. And like you said, kind of listen to what's lighting you up because it's there for a reason.
Exactly. Like, could you imagine like Megan at podcast episode number one versus now? Like, what's the change been like?
Oh, it's astronomical. I mean, I've never felt so much fulfillment in my life. And honestly, at this point, I haven't made a dollar and I'm just living like the life I never even imagined. It's just absolutely incredible.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, you followed your light and I'm so glad that you did.
We're going to keep following it over here too. So, Grace, this has literally been a conversation that totally quenched my thirst. So not to be corny at all, but I just did it. So thank you so much for taking the time to hop on and just sharing your vulnerable and raw story here.
Thank you. I'm so grateful for you. And thanks for letting this space feel brave enough to share and just for also creating such an awesome, open, vulnerable platform. It's so important.
In almost all of the conversations I've had with my guests, one of the most important things they have said is necessary as an entrepreneur is community. And that's exactly what Grace has created for so many people. She saw a need and made it happen. But she didn't just create something that she thought would be a hit. She did and continues to do her market research to ensure she is creating something that is valuable for her members. A few of the pieces of advice she shares: be nimble, don't be afraid to make iterations to your business, go where you feel lit up, and of course, find a community to be a part of. So let me ask you, self-starter, are you ready to find your community? Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Self-Starter Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe to stay up to date on the latest content. Want even more? Be sure to head to selfstarter.com. And remember, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. See you next time.